Not Just Football with Cam Hayward is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Must be 21 or older.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Not Just Football. It's me, Cam Hayward. Hayden gets the gloat, but we'll keep that short. We'll talk about that later. But we got to talk about the Steelers-Bengals game. Hayden, what did you think about the game?
Oh, great game. Great game. I know you've got to be happy defensively. Some very good things happen that you always talk about. And the offense, I mean, can we just take a moment and congratulate the offense? 400 yards. It happened. They threw the ball over the middle of the field. You had to be happy to see that, right?
I'm happy. You know, I'm happy we were on the sideline and, you know, they were moving the ball pretty good. Not enough points, you know, and I think we're working on that, but it's a step in the right direction. 400 plus yards. I think it was 33 plays passed, 33 plays run. Mm-hmm. You couldn't ask for a better balance in that game. And you got to understand, coming off the last performance, losing your OC, and going in this game, you knew the offense was going to be, you know, under a microscope. So, loved the way they played. We're able to spread the ball out to a lot of different people. And it created for a lot of success this past Sunday.
I mean, great to see Pat Freiermuth. 9 catches, 120 yards. The run game was really good. And I thought Kenny played well at times, too. I mean, you had to be excited with what you saw. I know you said last week, if it's that easy to throw the ball over the middle of the field, everyone would do it. But I love that they did it on the first play of the game.
Mm-hmm. You know, they addressed it. You know, you look at what Pat did. You know, we've been missing Pat for the last couple of weeks. And, you know, the week before we got Pat and – You know, seeing Pat with those big old legs catch the ball, I think was a nice sign. Got some big receptions from a multitude of people. And, you know, the running game is still staying strong. That's one thing that we are not being shy about. The running game and the offensive line are working hand in hand, and it's opening it up a lot in the passing game.
Najee Harris too, man. I mean, he ran the ball really hard, and him and Jalen are becoming a pretty nice little 1-2 punch. The running game has really come to life here the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, you know, I think it's fun because it's not just one guy. It's two guys that, you know, can go off at any moment. And I think Najee is the quote-unquote first running back with being the first rounder, and, you know, a lot is on his shoulders. And Jalen does his part too. But I think sometimes we try to pit each other. We pit each guy against each other. Mm-hmm. But I think most of the time when you look at these guys, they're working together, working in tandem. And you see a lot of success because of it. Najee going for basically 100 yards. I think it was 99 yards. But it was a good sight to see the offense really bounce back. And on defense, I just loved we stopped the run early, made them go away from it. You know, only giving up 25 yards rushing, that's a sight we love to see. And getting the turnover by Trenton Thompson, you know, what a bet that was the play of the game on defense. Mm-hmm. You know, undercutting that route, picking it off, saving points on the board. It was almost a 10-point swing when you look at it. So getting that all together was huge. And look who it is, Chris Boswell hit more field goals in Cincinnati. You couldn't ask for a better feeling than that.
I tell you, man, and I did it a few weeks ago, but Boz does not get the credit, man. That dude is so good and does not get the credit. Obviously, I think it's because Tucker's around now, but Boswell is really underrated and a really big player. And I will say this too, 25 rushing yards, but what's crazy to me, 11 attempts. It almost felt like they just realized they could not run the ball, and that had to be a great feeling for you because that's what you always talk about.
Yeah, you know, defense, we talk about stopping the run and not letting it get started. We didn't let it get started. And in that type of game with a younger quarterback, you would think they would go with the run a little bit more, but they might just thought it just wasn't happening today. We understand Joe Mixon is a heck of a running back. So you got to, you know, that's kudos to the group for getting the job done. But one thing on just Boz, he kicked the field goal. And, you know, he hates Cincinnati's field just because that turf is some of the worst turf in the league. But he was like, you know, this is my field. I do own this field. So, you know, Boz took control and made the field goals when we needed them most.
I'd say somebody else enjoys playing there as well, and that would be you. The most sacks ever by any player facing the Bengals. Congratulations, man. And then you threw up the OH. Somebody had to flash it this weekend. I mean, it was a bad weekend for your boys, but I'm glad you got to celebrate for them.
Hey, calm down with that. You know, I figured I'd give some love to my Buckeyes on TV. It's been a long week, but yeah. You know, I know that streak's probably going to be broken by TJ one of these days. I'll take advantage of it now. But, you know, most sacks versus the Bengals is pretty special.
One thing I did think was funny about that, I remember, I forget who it was, talking about how, I think it was Javon Hargrave who said, when you get the sack, start dancing, because that's who they're going to give the sack to. When you and TJ got to the quarterback, I was saying to somebody I was watching the game with, Cam, start dancing, because you need a sack. We need your sack this year. TJ's got plenty. But it looked like TJ almost gave you the sack at that moment.
Oh, he was trying hard for that. No.
Oh, was he trying to take it from you?
He was trying to take it. Don't ever let TJ fool you. TJ, he's very selfish when it comes to his sacks. And he was trying to rip the guy away from me so he could get the sack. But, you know, that's just our friendly little rivalry we got going on. You know, we get to the sideline. He was like, that's at least half. You know, and then he goes, well, it's basically a fool for me. But he's trying to submit stuff to Elias so he can get full credit.
So he really was trying to take that? Because on the camera, it looked like he was trying to give it to you. Like he was pointing at you, but really he was trying to take it, huh?
No, we always talk about it. And, you know, this is the one thing we always worry about. What if two guys get there, but then one guy strips the ball, because then he gets the full sack because he stripped the ball. So you always got to be careful. You always got to wrap up. And if you can, you strip the ball first. So it's a crazy world when you start talking about D linemen and their sacks.
Wait, is that actually real? If you strip the ball and two people get there at the same time, you get the sack?
Yes.
So that's why he's always ripping for it. He ain't ripping for it to get the ball. He's trying to get the sack is what he's trying to get.
Oh, yeah. Hands down.
One thing I did want to ask you about, and there were a couple plays in that game that almost like as a fan were demoralizing, when tipped ball right into Jamar Chase's hands for a first down or stuff like that. How frustrating for a defense is that? Because it looks like you guys were there. The perfect defense was called, just couldn't finish the play.
Yeah. You know, those plays and, you know, a lot of times either those plays happen or penalties happen that, you know, helps sustain a drive. You know, you try to just wipe it off and just keep going. It's easy to get upset. It's easy to blame it on the ref and then just give up a score. But, you know, for us, I think stuff happens. You can't really hide from it. You got to learn to embrace it. And, you know, just put in your rear view mirror. I think if you have those opportunities to get off the field, you take advantage. But if you don't take advantage of the opportunities, look for the next one.
Yeah, man, those were so close. But you finished it eventually in the red zone and made a great play defensively. Talk about some stuff in the locker room. Saturday night before the game, something came out that right. Minka and Deontay had a little altercation or some sort, and that the old grandpa had to step in with TJ Watt to stop the madness. What happened last week against the Browns, man?
Hey, chill out with that grandpa stuff, all right?
TJ's the one who said it about your beard. I'm just repeating what he said. I'm standing behind him as we talk about that like that.
That's cute. But addressing it, I think, one, it's kind of ridiculous that it became a topic after a game. You would think everybody in the locker room would have some, you know, sense about that, because that's what stays in the locker room. I'm pretty sure everybody's been in an altercation before in the locker room where tempers are high after a game. You think you should have won, but we handle it. We don't hide from it. But you know, what's in the locker room should stay in the locker room. It's not for everybody. You know, if you're in a business job and you have, you know, a conversation with HR, does it get reported to everybody or does it stay in house? You know, I think in sports, you don't have those HR moments, so they're more public. But, you know, communication, addressing things head on and being accountable going forward is the key to all of that.
How common are those?
Always common. I've seen them, been a part of them. You know, it is what it is. Like, you know, in college you have those. In college I've heard they've been even worse. So, you know, it's stuff that you got to kind of manage, but you know, it's water down your back. You just rolls off and you keep it moving.
So maybe when you retire, we can do top five best fights you've ever seen in the locker room, maybe verbal fights.
Man, I've seen practice fights that are even more crazier than that. Like, when I retire, there's going to be a whole chapter about the fights that have happened during practice that no one tends to talk about. I'll talk about a different
man. Time. Come on, man. Let's go. You got one in mind you're thinking about. Just name the two people involved. Name the two people involved.
No,
how about
that? No, I can't do that. They're still playing. I'll say that.
Wow, interesting. Okay, that's fun. All right, one more thing about this game. Mm-hmm. After the game, a video is released of a celebration in the locker room, and I love you, man, but you get mad about the grandpa title. What was the dance move you were doing? And that you were enjoying it, but you looked like the oldest guy in the middle of that thing. But everybody was giving you your props, so it felt like they were helping the old guy out.
Old guy out? I wasn't really dancing. I was just kind of messing around. It was after the game. I still was taped up, still had my pads on. You know, like, it wasn't really a dance move. I was just kind of going with the music at that point.
It looked to me like you were doing to the window, to the wall, the little song, which I will say fits our generation more than it does our generation. Yeah,
I never did the to the window, to the wall. You I never
doing,
did that.
Hey, pull the video up. Social will do this. You were doing to the window, to the wall. You were absolutely doing that, man, for sure.
Hey, chill out, bro. Chill out.
But no, very good win. Happy for you to get that divisional win, and I'm sure you're happy as well, right?
Always. AFC North, it's a tough schedule. Even with quarterbacks out, you got to win those games. We respect our opponents, and, you know, we were prepared, and we got the job done in a hostile environment.
Yeah, no, I'm happy you were able to get it done. You're much happier after a win, so that's nice. Duh. Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesar's Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns reward credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using code OMAHAFULL and then place your first bet. Up to $1,250. If you win, great. You keep those winnings. But if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer must be valid, must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. New users and first $10 wage only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount or qualifying wager return only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. No one to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with the Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through the Horseshoe Bossier City and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, if you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050. Or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia,
Ohio,
Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. I want to go to some news that just broke today. Frank Reich of the Panthers was fired after not even finishing a full season. Don't necessarily need to go into what's going on there. You understand, though, after obviously what happened last week with Matt Canada, just how strange of a situation that is. Give me an idea of what the locker room's like. Obviously, it's their head coach, but it's still strange. Got to be strange losing a coach midweek in the middle of the season.
Man, I think it's crazy, not to finish the first year with a rookie quarterback. We talk about having that sustainability and having that seamless transition for young quarterbacks and a young team. And, you know, you look at the situation, they trade up to get Bryce Young, and you look at what they traded for. I'm just going to read it off. You know, the Bears received DJ Moore, a 2023 first round pick, Darnell Wright, it was another 2023 second round pick, Tariq Stevenson, a 2024 first round pick that's currently the number one pick overall, mm-hmm. you know, and then another second round pick in 2025. You look at that, that's just, it's hard to fathom when you think about how that draft played out. When Houston had two picks, and you probably could have got the same thing because I think Houston was taking CJ Stroud regardless. Mm-hmm. You know, you switch with that, you might be able to kick some more picks. But to understand how the coach played a part in that and not see the bigger picture and to fire so quickly, it's kind of puts everybody under a magnifying glass again. And ask, what are we really doing here? Are we supporting a young transition and everybody growing together? Or are we saying, hey, let's get this out. Let's start from square one again.
Well, it's almost like you never had a chance. I mean, you got 14 games. Like you said, you traded away your best receiver. You traded away a bunch of draft picks. And then, I mean, I guess my question is, was it just that bad there that they felt they had to make the move? Or is it a little bit of unstable ownership where you played on a team where they've had three coaches since 1969? And the Panthers have kind of had a little bit of a revolving door over the last few years.
Yeah, you have to question that. You know, I think when you're not getting quick results, you know, David Tepper, minority owner here, but you look at the situation in Carolina, they want to win now. You know, I know Bryce Young has been a little bit injured and gone through some things, but you got to start to build around them. And, you know, if you could get a higher pick, this is the time because, man, this draft is pretty loaded, and getting them a receiver like a Marvin Harrison type or, you know, some of these other guys around the league, around the NCAA, it would be critical to make more for success.
Yeah, no, I mean, just crazy. I'm curious, though, do you think the success of Stroud and a little bit of success Levis has showed made this almost even more pressure on Bryce? Because Bryce just hasn't looked good this year, and it hasn't been good. Do you think the CJ Stroud's play almost made this even easier decision for them?
You know, I think there are different situations. You look at, like, you know, Peyton Manning, our boss, not having the greatest record his first year, but you could see a lot. And, you know, Bryce has been beat up a little bit. He hasn't got all the game if he wants. So it's been a little bit of an up and down struggle. CJ is performing, and he's in a better environment, and he's got some veterans around him to kind of, you know, grow with that group. But you got to take your lumps. You can't hide away from them. And hopefully Bryce is growing because of it. I think, you know, the jury's still out of what he's going to be. And you can't really say he's a bust or anything, because I don't believe in that. The kid balled out all the time. So you have to buy into, you know, the future.
And maybe you could speak to this, but do you think players walk on eggshells when a guy gets fired like this, or on some situations where they almost feel like a little bit of relief and they can almost play freely now?
I've never been a part of that situation. So
last week, you may have seen the offense. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe you saw something there last week.
I think it becomes, you become the focal point of what's going on, especially with a head coach. The whole team's on notice. Mm-hmm. You know, when an OC is fired, I think the offense is more on notice. But I think nothing's off the table with them right now. When you look at the Carolina Panthers, you know, everything's got to be checked, because you're looking, was it the coach? Was it the players? What are we doing in these situations? Is it the general manager? Are we bringing in the right guys? All these things should be on the table when you fire a head coach.
Well, and I'd say this too. One more thing on this is, if Frank was behind the decision-making of trading all the picks, it would be nice to have the number one overall pick to even trade down this year to maybe get Bryce some help. So if he completely blew that thing up, I could see why he would be to blame there.
Yes.
All right, well, let's look ahead here. You got a big game this week. The Cardinals coming into town. Kyler Murray, a couple games back. Give me an idea of what you're seeing from him. Does he look like the same player before he got injured?
Well, it's a different offense now. The Kingsbury experiment is done. You know, I think he's adjusting to it, but he's having a lot of success. I know they didn't win this past week, but the week before, I think he looked comfortable and, you know, gave him a chance to win, and they did. you know, scrambling around. You know, that's the one thing about Kyler. The more time he buys, the more he's going to give his wide receivers a chance to get open. So it's going to be a tough game, especially from our defense to his offense. We got to get some guys to the ball. James Conner coming out of the backfield. We got to make sure we wrap him up. Kelvin Beachum, old Steelers teammate. So excited to see those guys, but we got to go in there and lock in and try to take care of business.
Obviously, their record isn't great. Is it almost like you need to focus a little more and make sure you take care of business, knowing these are games? I know you don't care about record, but these are games you guys need to win, especially make sure everybody's focused when a 2-9 team comes rolling in.
Every game's a game we need to win. You don't really look at record. I almost think records are meant to deceive people into believing, oh, we're supposed to win these games. You have to prepare the same way. You got to go about it, honestly and earnestly, where, you go through your process throughout the week. You don't rush the process. You don't think I can skip A, B, and C and expect to win. You go out there, you take your study seriously, you watch your film, you take your practice, you prepare for the game off the field as well with your treatment and stuff. So, I think you can't overlook anything. You got to lock in, you got to pay attention and understand they're looking for a chance to beat you right then and there.
Yeah, and speaking of rehab, how are you feeling physically? Last couple games, you've been back. How's the body feeling? How's the body coming back? You look good. I will say, normally I would like to be a little harder on you, but I think you've looked pretty good since you've come back.
I'm getting better week in and week out. It's a process. I would definitely say this past week was a little bit better. But it's something I'm currently working on. I didn't expect to be 100% coming back off of the injury, but, working through some things. Through that, I think I'll finally start to catch my rhythm here pretty soon.
Snap count seems to be going up a little bit too. It feels like you're playing more. But I will say time of possession was controlled by the offense, so that might actually play a role in you playing a little bit more.
See, but this is the thing. Snap count, right? I can't remember a game where we only had 45 plays as a defense. I had 36, I think. So, that's the lowest I've had all year or since the first game. Snap counts were down for me, and it looked like I played more because I was more of the defense, mm-hmm. but we didn't have a lot of reps, and we've always talked about this. The best defense is a defense on the sideline, and I will totally take that every time to be on the sideline watching our offense cook.
Yeah, I think it's about learning how to play complementary football, right? And if you guys can do that, you got the defense to do it. And Kenny doesn't turn it over. That's one. Everybody says every stat all they want, but the one stat you guys are very good at is obviously turnover differential. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think Kenny hasn't thrown a pick in 7 games, and that's the most for a Pittsburgh Steeler. That's the longest stretch. Taking care of the ball is huge. I know we had one turnover by Jalen in the beginning of the game, but we were able to bounce back, get a turnover of our own. The turnover differential is critical, especially in the Bengals game. Say what you want about the offense, but their defense does an amazing job of getting turnovers and, really thriving on that. So we were able to keep the turnovers low, not win the turnover differential, but, continue to keep taking care of the ball.
I think that you got one late in the red zone, and that was huge because it's almost like you gave one away in the red zone, then you got one back in the red zone. So it kind of took points off the board for both teams. But really good win overall and on Sunday. And let's go take care of the Cardinals on this Sunday coming up, all right? Let's get to 8-4.
That's the goal. Yeah, we don't care. We just got to get to 8-4.
Much better than 2-6 last year. Just as somebody who's got to talk to you weekly, it's a lot more fun when we're winning games than when we're losing.
Yeah. Well, then the followers come when we're winning games too. So, keep liking and subscribing, guys.
You guys don't do it well enough offensively for people to come follow yet, but they're coming after this weekend, all right?
They're coming.
All right. We got to go into it, man. What'd you think of Saturday? It's a pretty good game, huh?
Okay, so I'm watching the game, right? And I'm watching through the third quarter, and I'm like, okay, we're starting to come back. And for the start of the fourth quarter, we take off in the plane, and I have no signal. And I'm just trying to keep swiping up, and I'm not seeing anything. And I see we get the ball back at the very end. I'm like, okay, we got a shot at this. And I'm just refreshing every single time. I didn't even get a chance to see the exact play. I had to wait like a couple hours after that just to watch that. And I'm like, man, we had a good opportunity. Mm-hmm. But, you know, tip your hat. They got the job done. You know, I think defensive-wise, you got to make them settle for three instead of seven. You know, I know the touchdown early to Corum, and then there was a brief stop in the game when Zinter got hurt, and mm-hmm. then you guys got a touchdown after that. You can't have that. You got to be ready. That was a critical time. If you can make them settle for three, then you have a chance to really win that game. Offensive-wise, I thought we ran the ball extremely good against a really good defensive line. But then at the very end, we couldn't hold up in pass protection. You hold up in pass protection, it gives Marvin Harrison a chance at that ball. But, you know, it gives McCord time to step up into the throw. He couldn't step up. So, it's one of those games you're going to regret, and we'll see what happens at the end of this thing.
Yeah, I mean, I look at a guy like Jim Knowles, man. He was brought there, gets paid a lot of money to stop the run and stop Michigan. And Michigan didn't run it for the clip they did the last 2 years on them. But late game, what Michigan get the ball back with 7.5 minutes left. And they were able to run it down, kick a field goal to go up six, and basically drain the clock down to where Ohio State had no timeouts and really put McCord and them in a bad spot. I'm with you on there too. Marvin Harrison's got to get more touches. They got to figure out a way to get him the ball more. I mean, he is their best player. And also, Will Johnson, who was following him around for Michigan, was out of the game for almost the entire third and fourth quarter. So you lost one of Michigan's chess pieces to Marvin, where I thought he probably should have got more touches. But great game. One of the better games we've seen in a while in that rivalry. And I thought Ryan Day called a good game. I just think Jim Knowles has got to get more stops for that defense, man.
You know, I think you brought up a good point with Marvin getting more touches. I feel like we find ways to get him the ball into the red zone, right? Mm-hmm. And, or high red zone, not really red zone. I love the call. The slant across the middle to him was beautifully drawn up. And I even like the Mecca Buka touchdown as well. But the one thing I'm just like, why are there not enough ways to get that kid the ball? Because, mm-hmm. man, it felt like this all season. There were droughts throughout the second quarter and third quarter where Marvin's not touching the ball, and he's not a selfish kid. This is not an indictment on him, but I think when you have special talent like that, you got to continue to keep feeding the beast. When he does get the ball, he's still going for over 100 yards. Mm-hmm. I think he only had like four or five receptions.
Five catches for 118 and a touchdown. But what were the targets at? He caught almost every target. So you only got him, 6 to 7 targets at the most. He's got to get balls on reverses and things like that too. You just got to get him the ball.
And I think if he leaves after this year, someone's going to feed him the ball because the kid's totally special when he has it.
Oh, CJ Stroud is praying. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine those two together? It was a good game. I thought, like I said, it is the difference though. I mean, he's a guy you got to get the ball more to. Cause even everybody else, Abuka only got 3 catches. Stover must've been hurt or something. They did not use him as much as I thought they would. But hey man, didn't need the signs this time. Just going to say the signs must not have made that big of a difference, boss. Where was Cotter Stallion?
They did make a big difference. We got a better game because of it.
I don't think the signs had anything to do with that. I think the last 2 years, Michigan just ran the ball down their throats. I think this year, Ohio State stopped it a little bit better, still gave up 156 rushing. And they just could not get off the field late, man. I mean, let me ask you this.
Before you go, I'll say this. There was a drive out there for Ohio State where they ran the ball like 9 times in a row. And I was like, that's what you need to be doing,
I was concerned when that happened. That was an impressive drive. And that's another reason why Marvin didn't get the touches, though. They ran it 9 straight times, man. I mean,
that was a daunting drive where if you get the ball back again as an offense, mm-hmm. man, you're thinking, blood in the water, but I don't think we really took advantage of that. I think that's when Zinter got hurt right after, so you kind of lost that momentum.
The next drive he got hurt, but I agree. I thought if Michigan were to go three and out that next drive after y'all just ran it down the field on them, that would have been a big problem. It would have, because it felt like the momentum had shifted to Ohio State, and then I'm not going to lie, when Zinter got hurt, Michigan looked like they had a deer in headlights look, and then all of a sudden they scored on that next play, and it felt like momentum had shifted back, and that crushed you guys. But Travion, not enough touches either, man. Travion only 19 rushes, but no pass, or he had three catches, but he's another guy I would have liked to see get the ball more, especially with how well he ran on that one drive.
Man, you know, I think you're going to kick yourself for how many times we talk about the missed opportunities, but hey, Michigan got the job done.
Yeah. Speaking of missed opportunities, did you watch the Iron Bowl?
Yes.
How? As a defensive player, how? How does that happen? Now, where are you maddest about? The rush, the lack of rush, or how there's one-on-one in that corner?
One, a muffed punt.
Well, that too.
I mean, get the ball back.
I'm talking about the last play. You want to go further. Okay, go ahead.
I'm about to go through it. You talk about that game. One, okay, we talked about the muff punt. Two, you have a two-man rush on fourth and 30, right? You have a spy. Why do you have a spy for Jalen Milroe to run for 30 yards? You don't think you guys can run after him? You either blitz in that situation or you rush at least three. Mm-hmm. Four, you know, and then how is the kid in man-to-man in the corner? That just makes no sense. You have to – oh, that really irks me.
I can hear it. I can hear it in your voice.
Because I'm like, Auburn, you've done so well all game, and you literally – you were celebrating on the sideline. You were doing all this stuff. But then you just, you know, fourth and 30. I just don't get what you're thinking. That's how people get fired, doing crazy stuff like that, rushing too. Why would you do that? That makes no sense. And it just felt like to coach so well for such a big part of the game, and then on fourth and 30, you crap the bed.
I mean, totally. You were the better team for 59 minutes and 53 seconds and just blew that thing late. And I mean, I would say this as a fan, and I'd be here interested to hear what you think about this. I'd much rather lose getting blown out than lose like that.
I don't know about all that.
Oh yeah, Cam.
I don't know.
Cam. Absolutely not. You were there had just left when Michigan fumbled the punt against Michigan State. That was one of the most demoralizing things I've ever watched in my life. That is terrible. Yeah, you don't recover from that.
But, like, that's way different. That's like a player mistake, right? A coach's mistake versus getting blown out. I can hang my head high and say, hey, I did everything possible. I just didn't get it done on that play. When a coach has literally hamstrung you and put you in a situation where you can't win, then – or as opposed to, you know, getting blown out. Blown out, it's like, man, okay, that's rough. I've never dealt with, like – getting blown out is just too much. Like, dude, they impose the will.
No, man. You got to get on TikTok or Instagram and go watch people filming themselves, Auburn fans filming themselves as the play happens, thinking like they're going to get the celebration video and then rush in the field. Dude, their faces. I feel so bad for them because, I mean, I sat there in shock and watched it. I could not believe they were able to. By the way, too, give Milroe credit. That was a dime. Yes. He put that in a spot where only he's got to get it, especially after making a bonehead play the play before where he ran in front of the line of scrimmage, then ran back. I mean, how they pulled that off. Now, the question is, I know we got to get out of here soon, quick. Can they beat Georgia?
No.
No? Really? You don't think the momentum of that can take them to beat Georgia?
Nah. I want to congratulate Alabama on what they did, but you're walking into a gauntlet when you go against Georgia. That's fair. And I don't know. You can't make that mistake versus Georgia. You will get exposed very quickly.
No, you can't play that bad again. I mean, dude, Auburn got beat 24-7 by New Mexico State the week before and then had Bama on the ropes. I mean, cannot lose that game if you're Auburn, though. That is – you may never forget about that if you're Hugh Freeze.
Yeah. And so that is our episode. Thank you so much for listening to Not Just Football. We'll see you next time. Like and subscribe, and peace out.